You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy, and I am so delighted to be in studio today because it is St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day a year ago was largely muted. You might recall that the bars were closed and the revelry was essentially silent. St. Paddy's Day parades were nowhere to be seen. And last year, COVID-19 was just beginning to become part of our national vocabulary. And the media, in full throat, was communicating a narrative that we find now was, at best, the skin of the truth, stuffed with significant lies. Along with social media and big tech and big government, they were bent on promoting what might well be described as the first full pandemic of panic. They were promoting bundles of prejudices wrapped in pretentious academic packaging. When some of us were listening to Dr. Anthony Fauci, we were doing so with a healthy bit of skepticism. Why? Because we know him to be not what he is called in the media alone, America's most trusted scientist, but rather as an avowed humanist with little or no sympathy for the significance of the body of Christ. Christians, well, they consider church their life, but not so Dr. Fauci. As Christians, we see the church as the place where the union of human persons with God is accomplished. And therefore, the church is the most important organism on the planet. It is through the church that God's saving power is mediated to the whole of humanity. The church, in essence, is, as I've said many times, the reincarnation of Eden. It's the place where you and I may access the tree of life replete with its Eucharistic bounty, a bounty by which our nature is unified with Christ and with other Christians. Within the church, divine life flows into us and penetrates the fabric of our humanity. My point is simply that for Fauci, church is at best ancillary to a properly ordered society. But for you and I as Christians, no society can properly function without it. We need to be so careful not to evolve science to the status of God. I say that because anyone who has spent even a modicum of time looking at the progression of scientific speculations knows full well that academics are not impervious to groupthink, particularly when tenure and social dynamics and grants and all these sorts of things are in play. Particularly, I would say, we need to be cautious today. Because if you listen carefully to the rhetoric surrounding COVID-19, or what we used to refer to more popularly as coronavirus, you can easily fall into the trap of supposing that what is being dogmatically communicated is settled science. That's hardly the case. And what goes under the rubric of settled science often turns out to be anything but settled. I mean, think about the examples throughout history And a few come to mind, like in 1500, it was settled science that the sun revolves around the earth. In 1750, so about 250 years later, settled science said that living things originate by spontaneous generation. And not all that long ago, 1980s, I think it was, presuppositions about the atomic structure of matter precluded the now accepted view of quasicrystals. Dr. Anthony Fauci speaks with a great deal of authority, and yet he often contradicts himself within the span of weeks, months, not just years and decades. I mean, think about masks for a moment. Last March, he dismissed them as questionable, something that might make you feel better, but does not serve a particularly useful purpose. In a matter of weeks, he came full circle. And now, according to Fauci, wearing a mask is essential. In January, he said that coronavirus would not be a problem. Now he's saying, at least he was saying, that we should stay in lockdown mode and perhaps never shake hands again. Just in the papers today, I read that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is reviewing data that indicates 3 feet are okay under certain circumstances for social distancing guidelines. So now it seems that the 6 feet edict is no better than 3 feet. My point is that the church must not remain silent in the midst of such growing confusion. Instead, it is axiomatic that we, as the body of Christ, remain on the vanguard of spelling out the proper parameters of science as well as spirituality. At the very least, the church ought to be at the forefront of warning believers as well as unbelievers about the serious ramifications of the reordering of Western culture, about the increased consolidation of wealth and power in the hands of bureaucrats who have largely proven themselves incapable of being statesmen in the midst of chaotic and turbulent times. Priests and pastors ought to be leading the way, not following the politicians, many of whom are in bed with, well, secular media outlets more bent on proclaiming a narrative than reporting facts. Make no mistake, the church is not expendable. The church continues to be essential. Whether in the midst of a pandemic, whether in the midst of persecution, or in the midst of political upheaval, the church is essential. It's essential in times of peace, and it's essential in the times of peril. We are at a tipping point in history. It is crucial that the church is awakened from a diabetic coma, a coma brought on by a steady diet of fast food Christianity. I'll never forget what Oz Guinness so famously said. He said that the world to come will be shaped by whether worldwide Christian churches recover their integrity and effectiveness and demonstrate a faith that can escape cultural captivity and prevail under the conditions of advanced modernity, or cannot do so. As I've said so often, we can curse the darkness or we can build a light in the midst of the gathering storm. In other words, we can mourn the paganizing of our culture as well as what I want to talk about today, the paganizing of St. Patrick's Day. So let me again remind you in this broadcast of who St. Patrick is. He's a 5th century saint who is now considered to be the patron saint of Ireland. Not Irish, but a missionary to Ireland via Scotland. A man who made his life count for time and for eternity. If you haven't heard the story of St. Patrick, well, today on St. Patrick's Day, I'll tell you a little more about it. As we go to break, I also want to tell you about a book that is titled Renewing You. This is a book that is our resource of the month. Tim Tisopoulos, who is the president and COO of Chick-fil-A, writes this about this book. Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne have summarized the key principles for living a healthier life spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally. These are life lessons grounded in both wisdom and experience. The book available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you more about St. Patrick.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Do you want to live a visionary life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes, finding ourselves repeatedly wingless and unable to take flight. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan, is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan by Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. As I mentioned before the break, I want to tell you a little bit about St. Patrick. I try to do that just about every year as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And I do that because so many people are celebrating the day, but not understanding what's behind the celebration. St. Patrick, again, is a 5th century saint and is considered to be the patron saint of Ireland. When he arrived there, most of the Irish practiced what could best be described as a nature-based form of paganism. But through St. Patrick's work, God brought so many in Ireland to repentance, to faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for Christians, it is noteworthy that St. Patrick's Day is a day that not only should be celebrated, but a day that happens to fall right in the midst of our Lenten fast, a time during which we remember our sinfulness, we repent of our sins, and recognize afresh God's grace and forgiveness. Soon, we're going to commemorate Holy Week. That begins with Palm Sunday. And on the Thursday of Holy Week, we'll honor the memory of that final Passover Supper. On Good Friday, we'll celebrate the crucifixion of our Savior. And we can say celebrate, and that crucifixion is at once the most brutal and yet the most beautiful act in all of human history. Brutal in that through his suffering, redemption is offered to humanity. That is the beauty. The brutality is found in that you have a truly innocent man who suffers and dies for the sins of the world. And again, the beauty is that through the suffering, redemption comes to all of us who partake of the promise. And then all of this culminates on Easter Sunday when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Never forget what St. Paul says. If Christ is not raised, your preaching is useless and so is your faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, therefore, is not just something that we celebrate. It is the central pillar on which all of our faith either rises or falls. I've said it before and it bears repeating. Christianity simply cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. Christ rose physically. If we would have been in the grave when Christ rose from the dead, we would have seen dust. Dust fly off the very slab on which our Savior lay. It is because of his physical resurrection that we know that we too will rise physically, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Perhaps you ought to go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's one of those chapters you want to read over and over and over again because it displays in living color your faith, my faith, our faith. Well, St. Patrick, he had a solid Christian upbringing. And he lived at a time when the Roman Empire was under siege by barbarians. Sound familiar? When he was just 16, he was kidnapped, actually by pirates. And he was taken to Ireland, sold as a slave. And although he was a Christian, he had taken his faith for granted, but his captivity changed all of that. When he was finally free, his missionary zeal caused him to transform an entire nation. Think about that. One man. The power of one. Could be you. God can work through us through the power of the Holy Spirit to make monumental changes in culture through the investment of our time, our talent, our treasure. Whatever you have to bring in your hands, you can transform a country like St. Patrick did. Well, we remember St. Patrick each and every year. During Vespers and Matins in Orthodox Christianity, we remember his life and actually sing a hymn celebrating God's work in his life. The hymn says it all, because in the hymn we are reminded to ask St. Patrick to petition God to preserve us as we run our course in faith and love. One other thing ought to be mentioned. You know the clover? You see it each and every St. Patrick's Day. In fact, some people have it as a key chain in their pocket, or they think of it as year-round good luck. This is a ubiquitous symbol. But it's not just a symbol of good luck. In fact, that's not its intent at all. If you go back to its original intent, it was symbolic of the Trinity, symbolic of one in essence and inseparable, one God in essence, one God inseparable. There's so much that we can learn from the life of St. Patrick. God used the difficult circumstances of his life to forge him. When he was taken into captivity, he used the opportunity to learn a language, to learn a culture, and that learning enabled him to be a transformative force. His life is a great reminder of the importance of the Great Commission, a reminder that, as the ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew once said, a reminder that there's a direct link between the oneness of Christians after the image of the Trinity and the missionary dimension of the church. The church looks not inward, but outward. It exists not for the sake of itself, but for the sake of the world's salvation. The church is a mystery of mutual Trinitarian love, is true to itself only if the circle of love is being constantly enlarged, only if new persons are continually being brought within it. Faith in the triune God signifies that we are each of us missionaries, just like St. Patrick, missionaries dedicated to the preaching of the gospel. And I think as well, as we are looking at the backside of a pandemic, at least hopefully so, St. Patrick reminds us that the Church of Jesus Christ was forged in the midst of pandemic and persecution. I always think of Ignatius of Antioch, a disciple of the Apostle John who lived where the disciples were first called Christians. He was apprehended in 110, apprehended for being a Christian, sentenced to fight wild beasts in Rome. He was marched in chains across Asia Minor to Troas, and there he was finally put on a ship that takes him to Rome. During that time, he writes seven letters, letters within which we can see what was on his heart and his mind as he was marching to martyrdom. And what you see in those letters is that St. Ignatius was, as St. John Chrysostom put it, a soul-seething divine eros. That's the template for you and I on this St. Patrick's Day. Is your heart yearning after mere earthly vanities, or is your heart set on eternal verities? I hope it is the latter. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast on St. Patrick's Day 2021. And thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You are most definitely touching the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. And also do remember our resource of the month, Renewing You. That's what we're in process of doing, renewing you, equipping you. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.